It's cloudy in a lot of areas in the political arena these days. And kind enough to join me this morning is Professor of Political Science, University of Akron, my good friend, Dr. John Green, with us. And John, thanks for joining us. And first of all, let's go internationally. President Biden in Israel, a lot of eyebrows raised of him going right in to that area. Talk about the importance that President Biden saw in going to directly into Israel.
You know, it really was kind of unprecedented for an American president to jet off to a scene of international conflict the way Biden did. But I think it shows just how important the situation in the Middle East has become, you know, not just for President Biden in the United States, but for the world at large. And Biden really has to thread the needle in terms of policy here. On the one hand, he needs to support Israel, a long-standing ally of the United States. On the other hand, he really needs to prevent the war from widening to include other countries and other factions in the Middle East, because an awful lot is at stake in terms of the global economy and other kinds of relations. You know, this is one of the great strengths of Joe Biden. You know, he's been involved in diplomacy for many years now as a senator, as vice president, as president. He knows the players in Israel and in the other parts of the Middle East. He knows them personally. So, you know, I think there's some real opportunities for Joe Biden to play to his strengths.
What do you think his mission here is? Because I agree 100%, John, that, you know, he's kind of in a rock and a hard place, obviously supporting Israel, but you've got a lot of different eyes on it. As a matter of fact, the Arab nations canceled a big get-together with him this week because of the ongoing conflict.
You know, it is really a difficult situation. I think that President Biden really had, well, he said to reporters and to other people that he really has two goals there, and they could be summed up with the word restraint. You know, he understands, and I think a lot of people around the world, you know, even our adversaries, understand the origins of this war in Gaza and that Israel, as any other country, has a right to defend itself. But there are better and worse ways to go about that defense. And, you know, Biden and others, including people in Israel, are a little bit worried about trying to reoccupy Gaza. I mean, that could be a really serious military and political problem. But on the other hand, Biden wants to restrain the various Palestinian factions, Hezbollah, you know, other groups, wants to deter Iran from escalating the conflict, and really wants to maintain some kind of restraint among the other Arab countries, Jordan, Egypt, and so forth. So, you know, it's a neat trick to pull it off, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this evolves.
With us is Dr. John Green, professor of political science at the University of Akron. John, with all that being said, let's separate the Biden-U.S. story right now in the political arena. Take us there into the Middle East, because my concern, and I think you brought it up a couple of moments ago, is escalation. There's a lot of eyes on this situation all around the Middle East with different agendas, peace being one of them, but there's a lot of eyes on this situation. And maybe talk about the concern level that you see as a professor of political science.
Well, you know, I see really two big players here that are extremely important. One of them is Saudi Arabia. And, you know, some analysts have speculated that Hamas engaged in the recent attacks on Israel in part to derail what looked like some treaties being developed between Saudi Arabia and Israel. Saudi Arabia, really, really important kingdom, a longtime ally of the United States. But there's been some friction between Saudi Arabia and the United States in recent times. The other big player is Iran, and the great fear that Iran sometime soon will have nuclear weapons, which could change the military balance in the Middle East. And the United States has been, you know, for many years now, trying to work out some kind of arrangement with Iran to at least delay, if not prevent, the acquisition of nuclear weapons, but also to bring them back into some kind of productive relationship with the United States and our allies. So those are the two big countries that I'm worried about. And I think part of the activities of President Biden, his visit, but also the dispatching of our Navy to the Eastern Mediterranean and so forth, is to address the concerns of Saudi Arabia and Iran and try to keep them on the sidelines of this conflict.
Well, John, it's interesting you bring up Iran. I had that on my list, so let's expand on that thought a moment. There has been speculation of them being tied to this Hamas attack in Israel. And, of course, you can backtrack a little bit. There has also been ties with some of their weapons to Russia in regards to the war in the Ukraine. So talk about Iran here as they're going back and forth and them being a player maybe on both sides of what we're seeing right now in war conflicts.
Well, you know, the politics of the Middle East is very, very complicated. And one way to look at Iran is they're opportunists. I mean, they have an agenda. They're, you know, an Islamic nation, very aggressively and consciously so. But, you know, they're willing to work with anybody on their side or on anybody else's side if it advances their national interests. Iran is a large country. It has a large population. It's industrializing very rapidly. And looking to have a really broad-scale influence in international relations, the United States recognizes that and has to take that into account as we develop our policies. Of course, the great fear is that somehow Iran and Israel will get directly entangled rather than through proxies such as Hamas and Hezbollah. And, you know, that could be really dangerous to world peace.
John, one final question on the global political scene is, how happy is Vladimir Putin that all this is going on right now?
Well, he seems to be really pretty happy. you know, Vladimir Putin has been playing both sides in the Middle East for a while. He'd had reasonably good relations with Israel up until recently, but also with Iran, also with the various Palestinian factions. And, of course, this whole situation takes world attention away from the situation in Ukraine, which has developed into a very serious stalemate and a big headache for Putin. And I thought it was really interesting the other day when Putin offered to mediate between the various factions in Gaza and Israel to bring about peace. Of course, he's engaged in a great invasion and war in Ukraine. So, you know, certain irony there.
Well, this is Dr. John Green, professor of political science at the University of Akron. And, of course, complicating matters further in these developments and what the United States can do, support and such, is that we still do not have a Speaker of the House. Jim Jordan, the votes did not go his way yesterday. They're voting again today. So let's talk about what you're hearing with the GOP party right now. They seem to be still divided, John.
Oh, they certainly are. You know, we talk a lot about polarization, you know, Democrats versus Republicans, but there are factions within both of the parties, and we're seeing a really good example of that, a sad example of that, in the House of Representatives, where the Republicans, you know, they've managed to oust their Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, but now it's been just about 2 weeks, and they haven't been able to find, you know, another candidate who could unite the Republican Party. And, of course, the key thing here is the margin between the Democrats and the Republicans is very small. It's very close. And so the next speaker is going to have to, next Republican speaker is going to have to find a way to unite the conference. And so far, nobody's been able to do that. The original force to remove Speaker McCarthy came from the far right of the conference. Yesterday, Jim Jordan of Ohio fell short in his bid to become speaker because the moderates in the conference wouldn't support him. So it seems like everybody's, you know, at sixes and sevens, and there's just great division. You know, maybe there's another person that, you know, a dark horse that we haven't heard of yet that can unite the conference. But maybe the Republicans are just going to have to decide how to move forward, and that means compromise. And compromise is in short supply in the Congress right now.
John, have you ever seen anything like this with this Speaker of the House situation where we have one, then the one side didn't like it, they get him out, and now they pick their person, now they can't get... I mean, this is crazy what we're seeing.
Oh, it certainly is, and it is crazy. And, you know, it may seriously hurt the image of the Republican Party in terms of next year's election, because what a lot of people, not every voter, but what a lot of voters want is a government that works, We can argue about, you know, the politics of it, but the government that works, and if you have, you can't even pick a speaker so that the House of Representatives can do its basic work, you know, that's a pretty serious indictment of, you know, the ruling party. You know, in my lifetime, I haven't seen anything like this. But if you go back far enough in history, back to the period right before the American Civil War in the 1840s and 1850s, there were similar problems. And that's a historical analogy that probably doesn't bring us a lot of comfort if you think about the kinds of divisions that the United States faced at that period of our history. So, you know, very few things are new under the sun, but it's been a long time since we've had this particular problem.
Yeah, and John, if you go back to those times, what was the end result? If you go to the 1860s, which was a civil war, so you certainly don't hope anything like that would ever come about being. John, great information. Thanks for getting up with me again. Always really appreciate it here on the show. Thanks again, my friend.
You're welcome. Have a good day, Ray.